More news of the newspaper industry's financial crisis came yesterday. The New York Times Company and Media General, the parent of the Tampa Tribune, each reported a loss in the first quarter of this year amid decreasing declines in advertising revenue. It's this environment that has led an analyst for Goldman Sachs to tell today's Wall Street Journal, quote, "It makes for probably the most challenging operating environment these companies have faced since forever." There's a new documentary showing tomorrow in Tampa that examines the crisis in American newspapers. It's called Stop the Presses, The American Newspaper in Peril. And it's co-directed and produced by Tampa native Manny Mendoza, who spoke with WMNF about the film yesterday. We asked him about the danger that in the future, only the New York Times will have the ability to pay for foreign reporting.
Real danger. And, you know, even the New York Times itself has offered buyouts to reporters, and they've cut back on their newsroom. So I think my prediction is the New York Times is going to be around for a long time. Maybe they'll have to start charging, you know, $5 or $10 an issue, and it'll only be read by a kind of elite. And, you know, it'll be kind of this precious thing you want to get a hold of so that they can pay for all these people. But yeah, we have another scene in the movie where from The Wire, we use a lot of kind of pop culture references.
Pop cultural films. And by the way, did that cost you a lot of money getting all these clips from these different films?
No, we actually it's a whole other topic, but we're using what's called fair use. There's a law that says you can use limited clips from other media in your films. This is only applies to documentaries. You can't do this in narratives. But as long as you take a short enough clip, and as long as it's really relevant to what you're doing, our lawyer has basically said we have to take the Sopranos one out because it's not completely relevant. But actually, all the other ones, the lawyer has said pass muster for fair use. So no, we didn't pay anything for those.
I'm sorry, and I took you off the point we were saying about
foreign reporting. Yeah, yeah. One of the clips we have is from The Wire.
Yeah.
Where the editor is announcing that they're closing all their foreign bureaus. That's actually straight out of life. The Baltimore Sun, which is what that paper is in The Wire, closed most or all of their foreign bureaus recently. And this has gone on all over the country. We are down to maybe four or five papers with foreign bureaus now. And, you know, I do worry. I mean, thank God for, you know, things like Democracy Now! And other sorts of programming that is trying to help out on that job. And I think that's the future. I think with so much fragmentation of media, we're going to need more and more different media outlets doing that kind of reporting. We're not going to be able to just rely on newspapers.
Again, we're speaking with Manny Mendoza, the co-producer and director of the film Stop the Presses, The American Newspaper in Peril, playing at the Ybor Festival, the Moving Image, this weekend. And, you know, so much of this talk about newspapers, the culprit in many ways is the internet in terms of where eyeballs are going, so to speak, and that includes radio stations and TV stations and everything, basically. However, as Todd Gitlin in your movie says, the NYU professor, former 60s guy, he says that people were moving away from newspapers anyway, pre-internet. I think he compared what was in the 60s to the 80s or something like that. So this trend was already starting, and then we had the internet. So in terms of people, less people buying newspapers was something that is a concern already for those people who are concerned about, you know, our democracy, basically, because as your movie talks about a lot in the beginning, especially how important and how valuable a paper is for a community.
Yeah, people have, if you really look historically in terms of the percentage of the population that reads a newspaper, it's been going down since 1914.
That's depressing.
Which sounds funny. Especially younger people, readers, have not been reading papers in the same numbers in the last 20 or 30 years. It used to be that once you got into your later 20s or your 30s, you got married, you had kids, you got more involved in your community, you cared more about what was happening in your community, you started reading the paper. That has happened less. So even now, people in their 40s currently don't have the habit like past generations did. The internet, as Todd Gitlin says, has just furthered that unplugging process. Now, ironically, if you look overall at people who are looking at news, even printed news, newspapers have more readers now with the internet than they've ever had, because you can go online and read the Washington Post or the New York Times or whatever paper, but that they're not quote unquote monetizing that at the same rate. A lot of advertising has moved away from newspapers to the internet. really that's a bigger problem than readership. And the advertising that newspapers are getting on their websites just doesn't bring in the same money that print advertising brought in when, really, if you were trying to sell a car, it was the only place in town to go.
Towards the end of the movie, and you alluded to this a little earlier in terms of, you know, if anybody knew what was going to happen, you know, you could make a lot of money doing that. I think you have somebody talk about, it was Tom Rosenstiel towards the end of the film, talking about how this could be, you know, in retrospect, in 20 or 30 years from now, we could look back at this period right now as going, this is, in fact, the end of an era, or it was this weird transition period. And of course, in the film, you show some reporters who are doing multimedia, they're doing video, they're doing stuff on the internet. And that's certainly something that's happening now more, and obviously is something that's kind of probably continue. But in terms of how it all plays out and how newspapers stand 20 years from now, nobody really knows.
No, nobody does know. You would hope that they would be able to make a successful transition. The problem is, to keep Wall Street happy, they're cutting their newsrooms now. And the question becomes, what's going to be left once the transition happens? Will they be so decimated at that point that it will be difficult for them to do the job that they used to do? And, you know, let's not just blame all this on Wall Street and the internet. Newspapers have done a lot of things themselves. Like any industry that got really big, they haven't been as innovative. A lot of newspapers tried online kind of projects almost too early, like back in the 80s. And when they failed, they thought, well, that's not going to work. Or they remembered when television and radio came along and everyone predicted that television and radio was going to kill newspapers, didn't. You know, they were kind of cocky about their future. So the question becomes, what will they have later? I kind of lost my train of thought, but another thing that happened when newspapers got really corporate is that, yes, they were able to raise the money to build these big newsrooms. But I also think they got further and further away from people's everyday concerns. And one guy says in our film, you know, their newspapers are more willing to listen to official lies than they are to the grassroots truth. And I think one of the things that's happened with really large media corporations is that they don't really ask the right questions. And they've kind of lost touch with people's concerns in some ways because they are often dealing within the status quo.